You jump straight in.
You made a statement this past, I guess it was Sunday evening, and I wonder if you remember what it was. You made the statement, that was the biggest mistake of my life. Do you remember what it was?
No.
I was so surprised to hear you say it, just because it's not something that I would have ever thought I would, that you would be regretful about, but it had to do with the like the Oak Ridge Academy of Dance.
Oh, how I didn't do dance?
Yes, please enlighten us.
Oh, yeah. Well, my after fifth grade, my mom's stance on summer vacation at home was basically like, if it's 10 a.m., you are out of my house.
Wow.
Like, just like,
leave.
If it's sunny, you're not in this house.
Was it that way for your sisters as well?
Probably not. I don't know. Oh, I mean, I think for my oldest sister, she was probably just doing whatever she could to get out of the house anyway.
Okay,
just like, yeah, wherever. I mean, like her and Anna have that in common. Just,
yeah,
like, I just want to be out of this house.
Yeah. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, Abby was just like, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what my answer was about to be for Abby. I didn't really have one. I think it was just like, Abby always had friends over. Always.
Okay, okay.
So like, and we had, my parents had a pool. So it was, especially in the summer, it was just like Hannah, Lauren, Erica at our house all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was really cool. But I felt like I had a lot of sisters, which was fun. But yeah, the stance with me was, if it's after 10 o'clock,
leave.
Get out of this house. I don't, like, just call me if you end up somewhere else in the world. Just,
yeah,
let me know. Like, that was basically the thing. Like, my best friend lived across the street,
yeah,
and like, we had other really good friends who lived next to me. Like,
yeah,
it was just like, our house was just full of children. So we just did whatever all the,
yeah,
time. But we always knew that at the Foxworth, there was no rule about being outdoors. There was no rule about how much candy or soda you drank or anything.
Video games you played.
Yeah, it was just so. Anyways, but there was one summer in particular where I would stretch that as best I could. I was like, I want to watch SportsCenter. I want to play video games.
Yeah.
It's just, that was my morning routine. Like, get up, you know, probably 8 o'clock, because my mom doesn't like sleeping in. So, because she would wake me up in the summer. Like, hey, T, time to get up. Time to get up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's like, it's summer. She's like, you need to get moving. Time to get moving.
I don't think my friend Apoorv ever woke up before like 1 p.m. in the summer. Ever.
Dude, no chance for tomboy. It didn't matter how late I stayed up the night before. There would be times when I would go over to a friend's house and do like an all-nighter. Like, we would spend all night on Sam Bingham's back deck and not sleep. And I would get home and I would lay down to sleep and she'd be like, what are you doing? I'd be like,
you don't get it.
I didn't sleep last night. Yeah, you had your chance.
Oh,
you got a day to live.
That's
okay.
So funny.
But so one summer I think I was having a hard time with that. And I don't know, like, every once in a while, my best friend would have like a thing he was signed up for a few weeks. So I just didn't have something to do. You
right.
know, it was like, oh, he's got to go to whatever. And, you know, from like the Oak Ridge swimming lessons,
sure,
or something, you know, that was like a thing. He went,
that's
to
a trigger for me.
Yeah. Like at the big pool,
yeah,
or slash where he was like, I'm at the Oak Ridge summer camp at the Civic Center for whatever. And
yeah,
so there would be like weeks where it was like, what do I do? And that's when my mom was like, the most passive aggressive thing she's ever done to me, which is saying a lot. That needs to be cut out of this show. It's so funny because my mom and I, our friendship now is like,
that's what makes these stories so great, is that you guys are in such a great place.
We are such good friends.
Yeah.
Like, we're just buddies now. But as a child, it just.
So what was the thing that she did?
Well, I was like sitting, we had like a little bar top, and I was sitting there eating breakfast one morning, and there's a calendar that's always there. It's been there my whole life.
Yeah.
And obviously it changes every year, but there's always a calendar there. And I was looking at it, and because she'd always get these like decorative ones or whatever. And I saw like, and my mom's handwriting, not good. Okay. Very hard to read. Okay. But for some reason, this was very clearly written. And it says like, Thomas starts O-R, like, however, whatever.
D-T-A.
Yeah, O-R, which is the Oak Ridge Academy of Dance. And I was like, what is this? And she was like, that's your start date. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you're going to dance. And I was like, what? What do you mean I'm going to dance? And she's like, you haven't gotten out of this house all summer. You sit back there and watch TV and play video games. You haven't done anything. So I signed you up for dance. And I was like, what? How do we turn this around? She was like, start doing something. You won't have to go. And I was like, okay.
Enough said. Say
enough
less.
Said. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah.
So at the time that was that you were like, I really don't want to do that. But now 27-year-old Thomas, looking back, thinking about the kind of the way you handle yourself at wedding receptions, et cetera, you're like, I really wish I had done
all that. Dancing opportunities. I've dropped the ball on. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I had done that.
So you could have just picked up the Xbox.
There's
controller.
So many things like you look back on high school and you're like, I was such an idiot. Why didn't I do maskers? It would have been so fun.
Right.
Like, why didn't I go to dance? It would have been so fun and it would have been so useful. Why did I quit the violin? What an idiot. There's just so many things.
I think even I tried to talk you into not quitting the violin.
Why did I quit baseball until my junior? What an idiot. Like, there's so many things where it's like, yeah, you don't ever get to do that again. And you missed it. Why didn't you travel abroad? What an idiot. You could have spent a semester in a foreign country and you didn't do it.
Dude, you're just eating your own lunch right now.
Ed, don't you have these things?
Oh, sure. Yeah, when I informed Senor Wattenbarger that I wouldn't be signing up for Spanish 3, he came out of his chair from his desk and put his hands around my throat and was trying to choke me.
You just got Bart Simpsoned?
Yeah, he was like, ah! I was like,
that, I mean, I'm like,
he was like, don't stop.
Why did you quit Spanish 3? What an idiot. Like, yeah. I took Spanish 3, which they say you know every word in the Spanish language by the time, which is not true, but that's like what they say to you as a student. It's like, if you're an English speaking student in America, if you go through Spanish 3, they say,
you've got enough words.
You know the language. And it's like, well, you know, but you only know like 4 of the 7 other tenses, you know, just like all these things. But I'm like, what an idiot.
Yeah.
Because you would find out later that you have a lot of friends who live in Spain and you try really hard to learn the language,
but now it's harder.
It's so hard now that I'm in my 20s. Gosh, Thomas, what an idiot. Just the amount of like,
I did not know this was going to go this way.
But there's so many fun things that I did, but I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Gosh, if I could do anything, I always have these moments. It's so funny. I love nostalgia and it's so funny. Like, Maddie knows it about me. Like, we'll be on drives and we'll pass somewhere and she'll finish my story for me. You know, at this point, it's like,
I've heard
that one 30 times.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, it's funny. I love to go to antique stores. I love stuff like that. I think it's so fun. There's not anything I would just like change about my life. Right. Yeah. I don't like, except for these things we're talking, they're silly, I don't have like I wish I could go back and redo that. I'm like, I do wish I could go back to like high school Thomas and just slap him and be like, stop caring what people think about you and just do whatever you want to do. You know, it's like, I'd probably be a zoologist right now who really enjoyed, it's just funny because I really loved animals and plants. And I was just like, this is weird. People, we don't do that. Boys don't like animals and plants. What a
sweet little botany Tom.
Golly.
Just being stamped down. Welcome to Ancient and New, the podcast that's normally not about regret. But We're going to talk about some scriptures, ostensibly. You want to jump in first?
Sure.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fired up now. Nothing, my coffee didn't do anything for me this morning, but that did. I've had like a really tired week because my dog has been sick.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and you just, yeah.
We found the button.
Wound me up. I feel like Austin White's going to send us some type of emoji about my attitude this morning.
The ignition switch.
You did something. I'm just like, I'm on fumes because that dog has been needing to go to the bathroom. But okay. Oh, okay. Here we are. Ephesians 6. That's where we're going to be.
Okay. I'm heading there. Go ahead.
I really like this passage of scripture, and it's funny. I feel like it's coming back around into my view. It should have never left my view, I will say, but it was definitely,
what an idiot.
It was definitely like a, like if you were a middle schooler in the type of church I grew up in, this thing was just used, you know, it was like, this one's beaten up into your head. Maybe you can attest to that, but this was like,
oh sure.
Like this is the New Testament passage of scripture that we're going to show middle schoolers because it talks about body armor and swords and that type of stuff. So you're like, okay, so you just heard this a lot. And then by the time I just heard it a lot. But then lately I've been doing this, like I'm going to camp out in a chapter of Ephesians for an entire week and going through it. I'm in chapter 6 right now, and I've just enjoyed it. It's been really fun.
Cool.
I'll read the whole chapter one day and then do it again the next day and do it again the next day. And
yeah, just keep seeing what happens.
Yeah, just keep seeing what happens. So I've really liked this whole, I mean, I'm about to read a lot. I literally told Lee right when he said, like in our preparation window, which is 3.8 seconds. I said, I'm about to read a lot. That was what I prepped. So
the pre-show meeting.
Yeah. A pre-show meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning. So Ephesians 6 verse, I'm going to start in verse 10. I'm going to read all the way through verse 20. So hold on to your socks. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. There's a lot of cool imagery there. You know, like the whole idea of like getting ready for battle and, you know, but for, I'll never forget being like a fourth grader who literally purchased from our local Christian bookstore like armor and a plastic sword. You know, it was like it was a thing that they sold and all my friends from church had. Therefore, right. I had it too, which was cool. But there's, you know, we could talk about this a lot. And I think I wanted to read the whole thing because it just talks about like, here's what our struggle is against. Here's who it's against. Because I think it's really easy to, redirect that stuff. I think it's really easy to get lost and forget that we do have an enemy who is, as this would say, shooting flaming arrows at us. Yeah. It's like, that's a dangerous weapon, you know, like it's really easy to get lost and forget that that's a thing, to forget that we have an enemy. And I love one of my favorite things about this is the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sword of the spirit being the word of God. Just like the idea that like the thing that I'm going to battle with, like I've got all my armor on and all the things that Paul says it is. And then like the thing that I'm fighting back with, like, you know, you've got a breastplate to protect your chest against things that are being fired at you. You've got a helmet to protect your head against things that are being swung at you. Like the armor is all protective against the other person's attack methods. And the thing that I've got to fight back with is a sword, which is the word of God. Like that is my attack. That is my, like, okay, if I'm, you know, it's the thing that Aragorn uses to just chop orcs' heads off left and right. And, you know, there's just like, you know, there's something cool about a sword, and especially for like a boy, you know, like it's funny. We just talked about all those, like, you know, younger Thomas things. And I'm just thinking about myself, and like having a sword would have been so killer and so fun, you know, but I love that that is like how Paul describes the word of God. It's a sword. It's like, it's our weapon that we get to swing and like cut heads off with. And like when, you know, the devil is attacking us, that the way that we can fire back at him is with God's word. So it like, that thing has, reading that this week over and over again, has produced something in me, which is like, it's important to have something in my back pocket to like shoot down what Satan schemes at me. It's important. And I think like reading this has made me realize like Satan has things, I think, for everybody that are like repeat attacks that he just knows, like, yeah, this is the chink in their armor. Yeah. I'm going to keep going there. And I think it's a super important thing for us as followers of Jesus to know what those are in ourselves.
Yeah.
To find out like, hey, this is where he constantly is poking me.
This always works on me.
This is it. Yeah. You know, that's it. Like, yeah, it always works on me, yeah, because I can better prepare for that. Right. Like, yeah, not to say I don't need to prepare for all things, and like, not to say I don't need to know scripture for all kinds of attacks, but like, and I do think like, when I get good at defending one, he probably finds another. But I think there's something cool about finding out like, hey, this is where I'm weak. This is where Satan gets me. Therefore, I'm going to have this ready to fire back, yeah, with. I'm going to have this ready to like swing for the fences with. That's good. With the sword. And I don't know. There's cool stuff too, where Paul says like, right after that, he says, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Like, I think that's so cool. There's something about like on top of that, on top of having like the word of God ready to attack back with, like, don't stop talking to the Lord. Like, don't stop on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, like for things that you want and things that you need, and just like for help for other people. I think it's so cool. I've loved this little practice of, I'm just going to read one book, one chapter of one letter of Paul for a week and see what happens. And this is, as Austin White would say, this has gassed me up just to read this.
Well, I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, because,
okay,
like when there's a principle in like in American football, which is like, you, if something works, you make them stop it.
Yeah.
Like when I was,
so you get 8 yards on a play, you run up to the line of scrimmage and you do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. So when I was, I remember thinking this was weird when I first started playing football. I started playing football in the third grade, and in the fourth grade, I actually like got in and got to play. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, cause no third grader should play football probably.
it's a little young.
It's not a good principle, I don't think.
Right.
But fourth grade, my coach was Ed Hudson, and he used to send in plays, with the wide receivers. So like the whole team is out there, and he would have like, instead of two wide receivers, he would have three, and he would just send one in with the next play to the huddle every time. And then one of the wide receivers would come off the field. And that's the way we did the I formation until I was in high school. And
so every down y'all ran I formation with two receivers.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that was what It was what Oak Ridge High School did, and therefore that's what Robertsville and Jefferson did, and that's what the Boys Club did.
Yeah, it's smart,
because it was just a farm system, you know. But it, the farming was not to get players; it was to get the system in everybody's heads. And so, in any case, he would run the play in and everything, and it's like a play would work, and it's like pro right 42 dive, and it's like it would get 6 yards, and then he would grab my shoulder pads. I was one of the wideouts. You're not throwing the ball in the fourth grade, like,
right?
But wideouts did nothing.
Sure.
And he's like pro right 42 dive, and he would send it. And I remember thinking, like, we just ran that, and then like we would run it, and then he would run it again, and I remember literally asking him as a fourth grader, we have more plays than this. And he was like, I'm going to make him stop it.
Yeah.
You know, and that is such a good thing to know about yourself. And I think one of the things that I like about this is we've talked about this with other things where Paul talks about getting dressed, but it's the intentionality of it. It's like, I know that I'm going into a situation where I need to be dressed a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If I go for a run, I don't wear my, like desert boots, you know, like you don't wear Clarks.
Right.
You know, you put on your running shoes.
Right.
If you're going to a wedding, you don't put on your running shoes. You put on dress shoes.
That's right.
The situation that you're going into requires a certain type of footwear. And it's that intentionality of like, if I just go through my days without the knowledge of like, I am going to be targeted and I'm going to be lied to in these certain ways about these certain things. It happens to me every day. I've got to get ready for it.
Right.
That one little mental switch, and I've got to find some scripture for it that I've got to be so that I can unearth the lie and I can debunk it. Like, if I don't think like that, I'm going to be discouraged today. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be insecure. I'm going to be a shambles. And I think it's like what you're talking about is like one shift that we can put into our day that's going to make a gigantic difference. It's like, today I will be lied to in these ways. He's going to make me stop the play. Like, I remember reading, I guess it was G. Campbell Morgan said, like, it was him, because it was in that book, The Great Physician, that he was saying, Jesus handles every person in every situation in a unique way.
Right.
He always has new creative ways that he handles different people. He said the enemy has like three plays.
Right.
He does them over and over again. He has no creativity. He does the same things all the time. It's where Paul says we are not unaware of his schemes. So we've got to be intentional about that.
Yeah, I think there's probably people, if people listen to this, there's probably people who are like, yeah, I know exactly how Satan's going to lie to me today. I know exactly what he's going to do. And there's probably people who are like, I've never heard that before. Yeah. What do I do about it? And I think this is a great opportunity to find someone who knows you really well.
Yeah.
And to say hey, how does Satan punk me every day? What is it? Because, or I mean, like, one, ask Jesus, because he'll make it clear.
Yeah.
Also, ask a friend, because they'll make it clear. Because a lot of times your friends are like, I can totally tell.
Or you do it like a medical diagnostician, where you're like, I'm going to start with my discouragement and I'm going to trace it backwards.
Yeah. Work backwards.
Yeah. Where do I feel terrible about me?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I feel angry? Where do I feel sad? Where do I feel discouraged?
Right.
And start tracing that backwards. And find out what is the thing that I think is true that is super not true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the father of lies. So
what a jerk.
Yeah. When you can trace that back and find out where the lie is in that, it's such a helpful thing. And then you can swing that sword and cut its head off, which is kind of cool. That's pretty cheesy, but that was awesome. I thought
I liked it.
Thanks.
Psalm 116.
Ooh.
We
haven't done a psalm in a week or two.
It sounded like it was going to be like, you were going to say like 6 months.
I was going to, then I realized that's probably not true, because we both like the psalms
like
a lot.
The psalms a lot. A couple of songwriters doing a podcast, you're going to be in the psalms sometimes. Okay. Psalm 116. I'm going to start in verse 5. He says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me." And then he says this cool thing in verse 7, "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." I don't have a ton to say on this, except that I think that sometimes we can get the feeling in our discouragement and our that like there's I'm powerless. I'm helpless.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I like about the Psalms is there are times when the psalmist says like, no, there's something I can do to get a hold of. I might not be able to completely solve all my mental and emotional problems, but there's something I can do to get a hold of this. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I can do is that I can remind myself how good God has been to me. There is a power in intentional gratitude that has the ability to change the way that I feel about my day. I think that for me, personally, when I can't fish myself out of the depths, it's usually because there was something that I wanted and I didn't get it today.
Yeah.
And what happens to me is I'll like circle the drain on that thing. Like, I didn't get that. I didn't get that. I didn't get that. And there, I'm just so frustrated.
Right.
And the practice that's been helping me the most to pull out of that cycle is to say, okay, yes, that's frustrating. I didn't get that. But let's take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a wider angle lens and look at what was cool today.
Yeah.
So like last night, Jack and I were playing Fortnite for a couple minutes. Nice. We didn't have much time before he had to go to bed. It was like, we're going to get two games in maybe. And we didn't even have that much time. We got one full game in, we came in second, and then Ooh. Like we started another game and I was like, hey bro, we got like 4 minutes left. So let's just go on a suicide mission. Like, let's just go crazy. Just rush, you know? And he was like, let's do this. we got stomped.
Ooh.
But, it was cool because normally Jack's thing is like, if we don't win, he's like really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned the machine off. He went to go load up his toothbrush and everything. And he came back in like holding his toothbrush and the toothpaste. And he was like, we didn't win, but I really had fun playing with you tonight.
Mm.
And I was like, dude, well done. Like,
yeah.
You widened the lens. And I realize this, like, some people are like, gosh, it's just video games, guys. And it's like, yeah, I know. But like, guys like video games. Like,
yeah, they're fun.
We want to win, you know?
Yeah.
But I was so proud of him for like just stepping back, surveying the scene and going, hey, I had fun playing with you, even though we didn't win, you know?
Mm.
And it's like, that's a big hill to climb for a 12-year-old.
Right.
And for me as a 42-year-old, it's like, I got to do the same thing. Like, And so I really, really have been trying to do this of like, just writing down things that I really enjoyed from the previous day and looking at my life and going, oh man, the Lord is compassionate and he's gracious. And as verse 7 says, like, hey dude, the Lord's been good to you. And it helps me to restore my own rest, to bring my emotions under control. Not that I do it perfectly, but it helps me to keep the discouragement to a dull roar when I have some ammunition. And my ammunition is like, I'm intentionally seeking out moments that I can be grateful for.
Yeah.
And just trying to recognize them, trying to like, so like last night at the end of Jack's baseball practice, there's this, you'll know this, but like in between the building of the boys club, there's like a sidewalk that goes down the building. And then there's the fence that's like the outfield fence of one of their baseball fields.
Yeah.
And it forms like this little kind of makeshift alley. And that alley has been the same thing since I moved here in 1988. It looks exactly the same.
Yeah, I can picture it.
Yeah. And I was sitting on the like concrete benches in the outfield watching Jay's practice. At the end of his practice, coach broke him down. And then he was like walking down that little alley, and I went to the edge of the alley, and it was like there was my little boy like with his like baseball gear backpack, the bat sticking out of it,
mm-hmm.
and like his hat on sideways, his hair's disheveled, he has dirt all over his face from sliding, dirt mm-hmm. on his pants. And I had this moment of like a dad moment of like, I never want to forget this, like what it looks like to see my little boy like walking down the alley of the boys club with his baseball gear. And sure. I just filed it away as like, okay, this is one of my moments. Like, keep this. Mm. Keep this right here. This is such a cool little, I almost took a picture of it, but I was like, I don't want to do that. Mm. I just want to hold it. And it was like, it's like when I get frustrated or disappointed or discouraged or something, I want my mind to be able to go back to that moment and say, like, for whatever reason, that was a moment that tells my heart, like, dude, the Lord's been good to you.
Yeah.
You know, you got this precious little boy, and like these little moments like this, just like the most American moment ever of like your little 12-year-old kid at the boys club with his baseball gear, you know? Mm. Anyway, all that to say, like, again, with intentionality, like, intentional gratitude is going to be the thing that helps me say to my heart, like, hey, return to your rest, oh my soul.
That's cool. There's something in here I really like, which is when I was brought low, he saved me. Mm. I think it's really easy for us to forget that. I think it's really easy for us to forget that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
I think it's really easy for us to forget that in moments when we are low and when we are having a hard time and when we're not our best self, he still loves us.
Yeah.
Still cares about us. Because I think it's just easy for us still. I mean, I think it's the case for everybody, no matter if you've been walking with Jesus for 6 months or 60 years or however long it is. It's yeah. easy to think like, I have to be awesome for him to like me, and I have to be crushing it,
yeah.
and I have to be happy, and I have to be everything. And
right.
in moments when I'm not, I'm bad and Jesus doesn't like me. And I think it's really cool to read that in there. It's just kind of tucked yeah. away in there because there's so many good things in there. And I love what you're saying, because I want to start having like more intentional mental images of moments where the Lord has been good that I can file away and open up later. Yeah. Because I think it's really easy for us to notice those moments at the time that they happen and then in a month forget about them.
Yeah.
And when something's not going our way, to think, when has God ever been good to me? When has to start questioning all those things when it's like, oh man, if I just kept a file of those and I could flip through them right. when I needed them, I think that's a great practice and a great idea to have.
Yeah. It's been helping. It's going to be tough for you because your dog's been sick. So like your moments have been filled with cleaning up dog mess, but she's going to get better and then you're going to,
yeah.
Dobbert Downey Jr. is not doing too good. So,
Dobby, poor dog. If you're like, what kind of dog does Thomas have? Google a dingo. It's literally, there's no difference in the way they look.
Every time I hear the word dingo, all I can think of is Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld yelling at a lady at a party. Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Is that what that's from? Yes. I've never known what it's from.
Well, she's quoting a movie that was popular at the time that episode came out.
Oh.
But she was like, this lady was just talking about her fiance, and she was like, where's my fiance? The poor baby. And she kept just calling her fiance a baby. And then Elaine just so upset with her, and she just finally says, maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Gosh, the amount of like petty annoyance in that show. Yes. Just like, gosh, that person does so not much act the way I am.
Yeah. But,
yeah, she's about to go to the vet.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. She's like, ride, let's go for a ride. And then we get there and someone starts to pull out of the car and she's like,
wait,
you betrayed me. Every time. And she's like, I hate this person. And then in 12 seconds, she's like, we're best friends. Let's go. Let's go do everything.
Fantastic. Well, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week. And this has been HN and New.
With your life you paid by your death. the